120 Muslim countries, representing more than $1.5 billion a year. One food company, one of Europe's largest dairy companies, suffering most so far. Lego, one of Denmark's best-known brands, said the boycotts have had little effect on them. Caricatures of Muhammad were first published in a Danish newspaper in September and then reprinted recently in European media and elsewhere, one of the cartoons depicting the prophet wearing a turban shaped as a bomb with a burning fuse. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez urged Congress today not to stop George Bush's domestic eavesdropping program. The top Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, Senator Patrick Leahy, has a very different take on that. Gonzalez told the Senate panel stopping the spying program would give the enemy room to operate within the U.S. But Senate Judiciary Chairman Arlen Specter says federal law forcefully prohibits electronic surveillance without a court order. Specter says he wants the program's legality reviewed by a special federal court. Yes, Gonzalez, there are a lot of people who think you are wrong. What do you have to lose if you're right? Gonzalez initially sidestepped the question, but then told Specter he would have no objection to such a review. The nation's largest long-distance phone companies reportedly are cooperating with the government's wiretapping program. USA Today reported MCI, Sprint, and AT&T don't require a warrant or court order for access to their systems. The New York Times first wrote about warrantless wiretapping back in December. The paper reported long-distance carriers were cooperating, but didn't name them. The Senate Budget Committee chairman says the budget plan from the Bush administration for next year is going to be a challenge. The $2.77 trillion plan calls for cuts in domestic programs, but increases defense spending. This is Air America Radio News.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thank you for tuning in. It was cold and rainy here in Atlanta today, all day. As a matter of fact, I don't think the... it might have got up around 40 at one point. But Kathy and I and Molly stayed home today. And if you've ever been inside a house all day long with an 18-month-old, you know that Kathy and I are about ready to pull our hair out. The one thing that kept us... sane today, believe it or not, what kept us sane was watching the hearings on C-SPAN with Gonzalez. Why did it keep us sane? Because we were fascinated. Fascinated. If ever I need, I personally, not as a radio talk person, not as a liberal, if just me, Mike, personally, if ever I needed any sort of validation about my thoughts about this country drifting into totalitarianism / Nazism, watching Alberto Gonzalez today cemented it. Astonishing performance. Now, we have some sound for you that we're going to be playing over the next, a good chunk of the show, because we have quite a bit of sound bites, which taken together will be a clear indication, I think, to you, as it was to us, that these folks aren't kidding. They're not kidding. This is not some wet dream. This is the most incompetent bunch of sons of bitches that have ever tried to govern the United States. That's a given. We stipulate that to begin with. They can do nothing right. But they are hell-bent on turning this country into a totalitarian fascist state, period. There's no question, no doubt. We're going to start that in a minute. A couple of things to talk about before we begin. When did we watch Loose Change? Was it Sunday night? Last night? Was it last night? Some folks sent us. Who sent us that? Was it Reg? I think Reg maybe at TV News Live sent it to us. We got two copies of Loose Change, the original version and the current version, I guess. And Reg said, watch the current version. It runs an hour and 20 minutes. We put the CD in last night or the DVD in last night and watched it. Now, if you've been a regular follower of this program, you know that I've struggled with this idea for a number of months, as probably most of you have, whether or not a certain cadre of people within the United States establishment, government, and military establishment were responsible in any way, shape, or form for the attack on this country on September 11, 2001. You need to see this movie. It's called Loose Change. What did I call it? Did I say Spare Change? Loose Change. Loose Change. They have a website that you can go to, and there's a way you can get this a DVD. It's loosechange911.com. Okay? Loosechange911.com. We watched it Sunday night, and what the DVD focuses on, what this movie focuses on primarily, are the events surrounding the collapse of three buildings in the World Trade Center complex. I strongly recommend that you get this. If you are utterly convinced that the attack on the United States was engineered by 15 Saudis, an Algerian, a Libyan maybe. If you're convinced that 19 terrorists came to this country, boarded four jetliners, and wreaked the havoc that they wreaked on September 11, 2001, then I want you to see this film. If you're utterly convinced, because this will shake you to your very foundations, If you are a Republican, if you are a, now if you're a neo-Nazi, forget about it. Go pull the legs off of bugs, you know, whatever you neo-Nazis do. If you're a Republican or conservative or a Bush supporter and you haven't taken the blue pill yet, you know, you are still, you're still holding on to what you always believed to be conservative political philosophy. Or a Republican political philosophy. I want you to go see this film, too. You don't have to go anywhere. Just order it. You can get it. I got mine free. I don't know. Maybe you can download a copy. I don't know. I have no idea. Go to their website, loosechange911.com. Just go there. Now, if you... the third category of people, if you're kind of on the fence, like, oh, Jesus, did they... No, they couldn't. Well, everything... Nah... If you're on the fence, please see this film. And if you're utterly convinced that this evil cabal of neocons and totalitarians that now control this government, they actually engineered this attack, then you should see it just to kind of reinforce visually what you already believe. So there's four different categories of people I think need to see this film. Loose Change. There's a Google link to the movie. I don't know why this movie is not being talked about all over the place. I would think if nowhere else, at least our good friend Keith Olbermann would bring this up. I know Network News is never going to touch this. I know the cable news scream shows are never going to touch this, but... How about the film reviewers for the New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, Detroit Free Press, Atlanta Journal-Constitution? This is a legitimate documentary, just like anything Michael Moore has done. Only this one is a heart stopper, because when you finish watching this, and you kind of sit there and drain off the bottle of Burgundy that you might have been drinking, finish up the last little bit of popcorn. And you kind of sit there for a minute. I'm laughing so I don't scream and cry or try to do something that would probably get me in jail. When you finish watching this DVD, you'll kind of sit there and you'll notice how quiet your living room or TV or wherever you have your TV, if you're watching it with a spouse or friend or whatever, you'll notice how quiet things are for a few minutes. I don't recommend a lot of stuff on this program. I never do commercials, endorsements, for very good reason. And that is I just refuse to do it. And there's very few books or videos that I recommend. There are some. This comes with the strongest recommendation I can come up with. You've got to see it. Loose Change. Loose Change. Go to their website, loosechange.com. 911.com, and figure out how you can see this movie. Okay, you got to do it. My Congresswoman, Cynthia McKinney, had her house attacked the other night. She has a film out. It's called American Blackout. It's a film documenting Cynthia McKinney's efforts to address the suppression of African American voters going back to the 2000 presidential election and continuing forward in the subsequent 1, 2, 3. What have we had? 2002, 2004. Yeah, we've had two elections since. This film, American Blackout, was shown last week at the Sundance Film Festival, and it earned the Special Jury Award for Documentary Films. Now, I don't know where we'll see this one. I guess in theaters. Maybe on the Sundance Channel. I don't know. Anyway, she came home from the screening at Park City, Utah, where the film festival is held. She came home early Sunday, January 29th, and found that her front lawn had been vandalized and rolled. You know what I mean by rolled? You know, toilet paper rolled, but not with toilet paper, with VCR tape. VCR tape. McKinney said, obviously someone wants to send a message that they know where I live and can have access to my front yard to do unkind things. And she went on to say, still, we are pleased with the success of American Blackout at Sundance and hope everyone who cares about our country will make a point to see it. Yeah, they rolled my member of my congresswoman's front yard, they rolled it with VCR tape. Uh-huh. Because America's been took, it's plain to see. The oldest trick in the book is making enemies. A phony evil, so the government can do its dirt. Did you hear about that on the news? Oh, you didn't? These killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying, never told. It's all a part of playing cards, so you think we need them. While being ass-crossed, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, because it's major.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
A lot of you have already seen this. It's about a week old. Kellogg Brown and Root, I went to their website to get the press release. Kellogg Brown and Root announced today, January 24th, that its government and infrastructure division has been awarded an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract to support the Department of Homeland Security's U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement facilities in the event of an emergency, with a maximum value, a total value of $385 million over a five-year term, consisting of one-year-based period and 4 one-year options. The competitively awarded contract will be executed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer, Fort Worth, Texas, Fort Worth District. The contract, which is effective immediately, provides for establishing temporary detention and processing capabilities to augment existing Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention and removal operations programs in the event of an emergency influx of immigrants into the U.S. or here it comes, to support the rapid development of new programs. The contingency support contract provides for planning and, if required, initiation of specific engineering, construction, and logistics support tasks to establish, operate, and maintain one or more facilities. The contract may also provide migrant detention support to other U.S. government organizations, as well as the development of a plan to react to a national emergency. Now, this is the same company, of course, Halliburton, Kellogg Brown & Root, that has hired God knows how many illegal immigrants to work on the U.S. Gulf Coast as it does reconstruction down there, right? I'll tell you, folks, Jamie Zwieback, that's his or her name, an official with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, explained what sort of an emergency these facilities for which these facilities would be used. He or she said, if, for example, there were some sort of upheaval in another country that would cause mass migration, that's the type of situation that the contract would address. To the NSA folks who are listening and the ICE folks, are you dumb sons of bitches really believe that we are this stupid? What? Some kind of an upheaval in another country, and then what? They're all going to jump into rowboats and row across the Atlantic or the Pacific and land on our shores and come thundering. You bastards, you. Can't you hire somebody to come up with creative scenarios that at least, if they don't make real sense, make comic book sense? Oh, my God. You know, anyone familiar with the history of the construction of detention camps in this country or Poland should have a real red flags waving in your face now and bells going off. Considering what took place in Germany and considering what we did to Americans of Japanese descent in 1942, Is it wise to have detention camps built without total scrutiny and questions being asked here about this sort of thing? Oh, my God. Oh, Kathy, maybe it is time to take a look at New Zealand. $500 million. That's just to start. Now, you know, anytime Kellogg Brown Root gets a contract, the cost overruns usually are by factors of 2, 3, 10, 20, 30, 50. How many billions are missing from Iraq? And who's in charge of most of the so-called reconstruction? That's right, Kellogg Brown Root, Halliburton. This pig, Cheney, this filthy pig, Cheney. It's just unbelievable. So here you are. Now, the camps that they're talking about, of course, are the ones that were refurbished during the Reagan administration by the American traitor and disgrace to the Marine Corps uniform, Oliver North. You know, those camps were spruced up a bit back then, and it was being handled under FEMA. Because what the Reagan crime family was a little bit worried about, and I don't think Reagan was involved in this, I think it was the people around him, what they were concerned about is an invasion in anywhere in Central America might cause Americans to go in the streets and get pissed off like we did back in the 60s and 70s about Vietnam and Nixon. Well, I'll tell you what, I've said it before on this program, a couple of things you need to do, and one of them is make sure you know how to safely handle a weapon. Will you make sure you do? I don't care how liberal you are. Will you do that?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
We'll be right back. FISA law was written in 1978. We're having a discussion in 2006.
Oh, well,
it's a different world.
Yeah, well, that's true. By the way, it wasn't Reg, it was Rob who sent me the DVDs. Thanks, Rob. Sorry for the mix-up there. I had a couple of emails back and forth with Reg at TV News Lives, who's also seen both DVDs, and in writing to her, I said, well, you know, which one should I look at? And she said, do the second one. Anyway, it was Rob that sent it to me. Thanks, Rob. For those of you who are having trouble getting on to the Loose Change website now, we just got an email. It's been crashed. You can also go to informationclearinghouse.com. They have a free download of Loose Change. Or go to video.google.com. There's a free download there, too. All right? So there's two sites for you. Informationclearinghouse.com, which you're all familiar with, and, of course, video.google.com. Now, we've got enough audio of the judiciary hearings today with Torquemada Gonzalez to, I don't know, think of a cliche quick. Choke a walrus. How's that? Okay. Kathy probably would have selected even more of this auditory evidence of the administration's outrageous abuse of the Constitution, but she simply ran out of time tonight. Even the neocons on the committee were worried about the loss of civil liberties, if you can believe that. Despite Arlen Specter's early refusal to make Torquemada swear in, yeah, they put this bastard on, this little rat son of a bitch, Gonzalez. They put it, don't even swear him in. This is a Senate hearing, for Christ's sake. Can you remember how many times Janet Reno appeared before these hearings and had to be sworn in? But here he sits, the smirking little bastard. Don't even swear him in. Don't even swear him in. So, no perjury for later on when you're finally brought to trial, Torquemada, huh? Jesus. And then Specter tries to play pointed prosecutor a little bit later with some questions to Gonzalez. But the nerve of this man. Now, I'm sure that there are other this is not a precedent-setting event. I'm sure other people have testified and not been sworn in. This is the Attorney General of the United States of America. He is being summoned to appear before a Senate panel, and he's not sworn in. Jesus. It's completely clear, crystal clear, why it was critical for Bush to gain control over the Supreme Court. Because obviously the issue of the legality of his domestic spying program is going to end up in front of that court. You've heard it referenced several times now. There's no other option. It's a constitutional question of separation of powers. It is going to happen. And one of the sickest revelations to come out of these hearings is that if the New York Times had not released the story after they sat on it for a year, we'd never know about this at all. And you got to wonder what else the Bush administration is doing that they have instructed this pussycat press corps, this compliant, sickening neoconservative media to shut up about, right? If we knew what else they're sitting on, these incompetent freaks would probably make their environmental and tax policies and the use of torture and rendition, illegal spying, bombing civilians, and all their other war crimes pale in comparison. I mean, we're here, truth seeker. Don't think for a second. I don't care what your preference is, political or sexual or religious or lack of, you know, get over it. Get over all the differences. We're here. We are on the cusp of fascism moving in. Finally, the book It Can't Happen Here was written when? 1933, 34, 35? Took them 70 years. Here we are. Here we are. All right, let's begin. Senate judiciary hearings on the National Security Agency wiretapping. Arlen Specter starts off the questioning with a general question. Why is Gonzalez avoiding the FISA court?
Mr. Attorney General, starting with the FISA court, well-respected, maintains secrecy, experienced in the field, why not take your entire program to the FISA court? Within the broad parameters of what is reasonable and constitutional, and ask the FISA court to approve it or disapprove it.
Senator, I totally agree with you that the FISA court should be commended for its great service. We study very carefully the requirements of the Constitution under the Fourth Amendment. We study very carefully what FISA provides for. As I said in my statement, we believe that FISA does anticipate that another statute could permit electronic surveillance.
Okay, you think you're right, but there are a lot of people who think you're wrong.
Duh.
As a matter of public confidence, why not take it to the FISA court? What do you have to lose if you're right?
What I can say, Senator, is that we are continually looking at ways that we can work with the FISA court in being more efficient and more effective in fighting the war on terror. Obviously, we would consider and are always considering methods of fighting the war effectively against al-Qaeda.
Well, speaking for myself, I would urge the president to take this matter to the FISA court.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen, Arlen. As a matter of fact, you hear that patter of feet? That's Gonzo running out the door there to take the matter of the FISA violations to the president, to the court, to somewhere, right? Boom, there he goes. No, just kidding. Gonzalez tells Spector that he does go to the FISA court and gives him pertinent information when they go to the court for a warrant. Yeah, we do that. So Spector wants to know if FISA is aware of Bush's wiretapping program, which circumvents the court.
So if you have information that you're submitting to the FISA court in support for a warrant, you tell them that it was obtained from this program? I'm asking you, do you tell the FISA court that you got it from the program? I want to know if they're declining to issue warrants because they are dissatisfied with the program.
Senator, I'm not. I believe that getting into those kind of details is getting into the detail about how the program is operated.
And you're never going to hear that, Spector, because you're not an official member of the American Nazi Party. You know, we have some doubts about you, Spector. Besides, you're Jewish, aren't you? And aside from that little fact, is the fact that you continue to mouth support for a woman's right to get an abortion. We don't trust you, Spector. So Arlen wants clarification on Alberto's contradictory assertion that, A, Congress's use of the forced resolution against Afghanistan gave Bush authority to wiretap Americans, and B, Gonzalez's statement that they didn't seek congressional approval for this wiretapping because they didn't think Congress would approve it. What? What? They already had it, he says in one breath, and second, he says, no, we didn't ask for it because we didn't think you'd give it to us. They sit there and lie because they know that you and I are busy watching American Idol or picking our nose or I don't know what the hell we're doing, trying to figure out where we're going to get a job. So we're not going to pay any attention to this. The son of a bitch sits there and just contradicts and contradicts. He changes it. Now he says they didn't seek congressional approval because it would disclose too much to Congress, not because Congress wouldn't approve it. I guess they thought only the so-called Gang of Eight, you know, people like Porter Goss, deserved to hear about it.
On looking at congressional intent as to whether the resolution authorizing the use of force, whether Congress intended for that generalized resolution to carry an authorization for this electronic surveillance in distinction to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, you were quoted as saying, quote, that was not something that we could likely get. Now, that's different from the response you had that it might involve disclosures. Well, I'll limit it to just this one question. If this is something you could not likely get, then how can you say Congress intended to give you this authority?
The consensus was in a meeting that legislation could not be obtained without compromising the program,
oh,
i.e. discussing
Christ.
The disclosing the existence of the program, how it operated, and thereby effectively killing the program.
You lying little bastard. What have they promised you, Alberto? Huh? What have they promised you? What little goodie are you getting for becoming a traitor to your adopted country? What is it that you get, Alberto? I'm just a curious American.
Patrick Leahy gets his first crack at Torquemada here, asking specifically, when the president came to the conclusion that the use of force resolution gave Bush permission to do anything he goddamn pleased. Go around the FISA court to wiretap Americans. It doesn't make any difference. Lock people up. Maybe murder people on American soil. I think he's a terrorist. You do? Yeah. Kill him. But kill him. I think he's a terrorist. We all know there have been many reports that the Bush cabal was surveilling Americans before the September 18th, 2001 use of force resolution passed Congress. Now note the very precise and tricky language Gonzalez uses here to tiptoe around the legal issue.
Did you come to the conclusion that you had to have this warrantless wiretapping of Americans inside the United States to protect us before the president signed the resolution on September 18, 2001? You were the White House counsel at the time.
What I can say is that we came to a conclusion that the president had the authority
you
to authorize
came.
This kind of activity before he actually authorized the activity.
When was that?
It was subsequent to the authorization to use military force. Sir, it was just a short period of time after the authorization to use military force.
When?
Before or after NSA began its surveillance program?
Again, the NSA did not commence the activities under the terrorist surveillance program before the president gave his authorization. And before the president gave the authorization, he was advised by lawyers within the administration that he had the legal authority to authorize this kind of surveillance.
So the NSA didn't do this until the president gave them the green light that they had, could authorize warrantless wiretapping of Americans inside the United States.
Well,
under the circumstances you've described in your earlier testimony.
Of course, Senator, the NSA has other authorities to engage in electronic surveillance.
I'm talking about the specific program.
And I'm told they took advantage of those authorities, but it's my understanding, and I believe this to be true, that the NSA did not commence in the kind of electronic surveillance which I am discussing here today prior to the president's authorization.
Oh, my God. And these degenerate sons of bitches used to talk about Clinton. Well, what's the meaning of the word is? And look what they're doing. Do you care? Anybody care? I'm just curious. Anybody out there care? Listening to Gonzalez do this, this is so beyond anything you'd ever find in the novel 1984. This is truly insane stuff. It really is. If you have doubts about the determination of the Bush crime family to set up totalitarian government, fascist government, Nazi government, I call it, can you listen to this stuff and not agree that that's what they're about?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful, and all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard, now available in 3 sizes at Walgreens and other fine stores.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 8 before the hour. Okay, back to the hearings today. Now Patrick Leahy really tears apart the Bush crime family's argument that the use of force resolution allows Bush to conduct any kind of surveillance he pleases without a warrant as long as he thinks there's some connection to a terrorist. Leahy wants to know where the line in the sand is drawn in terms of restriction on Bush's power. Can he, for example, open your mail? Maybe put in some anthrax? As with so many questions at the hearing today, Gonzalez just won't answer.
Under your interpretation of this, can you go in and do mail searches? Can you go into emails? Can you open mail? Can you do black bag jobs? And under the idea that you don't have much time to go through what you describe as a cumbersome procedure, what most people think is a pretty easy procedure to get a FISA warrant, can you go and do that? Of Americans.
Sir, I've tried to outline for you and the committee what the president has authorized, and that is all that he has authorized.
Did it authorize the opening of first-class mail of U.S. citizens? Just that you can answer yes or no.
There's all kinds of wild speculation out there about what the president has authorized and what we're actually doing. And I'm not going to get into a discussion, Senator, about...
So, Attorney General, you're not answering my question. I'm not asking what the president authorized. Does this law, you're the chief law enforcement officer of the country, does this law authorize the opening of first-class mail of U.S. citizens? Yes or no, under your interpretation?
Senator, I think that, again, that is not what is going on here. That's what this program is all about.
You haven't answered my question.
You haven't answered my question. No, he hasn't, Senator Leahy, and he's not going to. Not your question, not anybody's question. Would Stalin's people have answered questions had there been some sort of little jokey hearings like your jokey hearing, Mr. Spector? You have an ass creep sitting in front of you, Senator Leahy, who's not even sworn in. This is a game, Patrick. It's a bloody game. Don't you understand? And there sit the Democrats actually taking this seriously. You don't think Spector is in on it just because he says, yeah, I don't give a damn if women get abortions. I couldn't care less. I'm not a woman. Do you think because of that, Spector is holding these hearings in order to establish what this filthy crime family is doing to the Constitution, doing to this guy? I have a news flash for you, Senator Leahy, Senator Kennedy, Senator Feinstein, Senator Biden, Senator Feingold. I have a news flash for all you brilliant senators. This is a game. This is a game. And let me explain to you how a game works. I'm talking about now in the transactional analysis sense. Psychobabble, here we come. The game only continues as long as both parties are willing to play. How do you end a game? You stop playing. In this case, senators, you get up and walk the hell out. You have a punk sitting in front of you who has established the United States of America as a country that tortures. You have a punk sitting in front of you who, if he were an attorney general, would probably be the member of some Latino street gang in South Central L.A. You have a punk sitting in front of you who is telling you to kiss his Latino ass. Don't you understand that? How much longer do you play the game, senators? Well, I guess as long as you want the game to go on, right?
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Become a Mystery ShopLink shopper. Call 1-800-451-4186 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-800-451-4186. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. Call 1-800-451-4186. 86.
Offer not available in Nevada.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Iran is following through on a threat to limit international inspections of its nuclear program. The UN's nuclear watchdog agency says Iran has told them to remove surveillance cameras and seals from Iran's nuclear equipment and nuclear sites. Those demands just days after the International Atomic Energy Agency reported Iran to the UN Security Council over its nuclear activities. The agency's Board of Governors will meet again next month before the Security Council decides what action to take against Iran, with the suspicions that Iran's nuclear activities are not entirely peaceful. The head of the UN agency also says Iran has announced a sharp reduction in the number and kind of inspections the agency's experts will be allowed to conduct. The Senate Judiciary Committee has ended a hearing into George Bush's domestic spying program, but promises more hearings in the future. Committee members questioned Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez about the program today. Senator Ted Kennedy says the surveillance program could weaken national security if courts think evidence against terror suspects is gathered illegally. Gonzalez says the Bush administration does not believe prosecutions would be jeopardized, and he urged Congress not to stop the spying program. A tsunami warning sent to TV and radio stations throughout Alaska was, it turned out, a mistake. The National Weather Service says there's no danger of a tsunami anywhere. The mistaken message went out directly from the Weather Service to broadcasters in Alaska. It contained a computer header that a tsunami warning would carry, but there was no other information in the warning. If it had been a real warning, there would have been some actual text that outlined which areas of the state were covered. A TV station in Anchorage says they got dozens of phone calls asking about this tsunami warning. The Weather Service later sent a correction. It's not clear just how the warning was issued, mistakenly, but at the time, technicians were working on a computer and showing a new intern how warnings are supposed to be sent. Italian police say they've got no plans to raid the Olympic Village for drugs, but athletes, they say, who test positive for banned substances will face criminal charges and disqualification from the Games. The prospect of drug raids hanging over the Turin Games, the International Olympic Committee asked the Italian government to suspend its sports doping laws. It refused to do so, but then said the IOC could run the anti-doping program in Turin. Sports doping carries a prison term of up to 2 years in Italy. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We are right in the middle of playing the sound clips from the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings today, where Alberto Gonzalez sat there and repeatedly gave the finger to members of this committee, all the Democrats and a few of the Republicans. Keep in mind, this is a regime that answers to nobody. This is a regime that truly believes torture is okay, rendition is okay, the Constitution is, as Bush said, a goddamn piece of paper. These people will lie, cheat, steal, and kill. Now, the irony here, if you remember, just what was it, a week or so ago, the event in Afghanistan, where we bombed a house and killed 18 civilians, 4, 5, 6 of whom were children. George W. Bush can murder children with impunity, and nobody says anything. And here is this hearing in the Senate today about whether or not these sons of bitches are illegally tapping our phones and reading our email and opening our mail and invading our houses, which is serious business. But George W. Bush can order the slaughter of children. 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 Children! The murder of children every single day. Every single day. Every single day. Children are murdered in Iraq and or Afghanistan. As a direct result of U.S. military operations. Direct result. How can this man sit down and eat dinner at night? So we continue to murder children, but we're getting our asses in a huge, huge firestorm about the Fourth Amendment violations. And, well, we should. Sure, you know. So far, we are not using the U.S. military to kill children here. If children die here, that's a result of not the military, that's a result of the civilian leadership in the Bush crime family. Pulling people off Medicaid, denying people food stamps or women, infant children subsidies or in the Katrina issue, just letting them drown because they have black skin or brown skin, really. Just let them drown, screw them, you know. But there is reason to be upset. There is. There is reason to be upset that Gonzalez sits there, Torquemada, a guy who would cut your throat and just never muss his hair or the sneer on his face. So we ended up there with Leahy saying, you haven't answered my question. And, well, no, it's not going to happen. So let's go on to Joe Biden. Takes time out from another hair transplant to sit in on the committee hearings. And he wants some assurance from the witness that Gonzalez is totally informed and can guarantee 100% that no one is being eavesdropped other than a communication from a foreign soil from Al-Qaeda, as the Bush crime family keeps asserting, right? That's what they keep saying. And you know, they call it the terrorist surveillance program. Oh, they're slick little bastards, aren't they? The terrorist surveillance program. Ooh. So anyway, that's what Biden wants to know. He wants to know. I want to know. All right, let's find out. You know the answer to the question without even hearing the sidestepping and crafty language tricks from Torquemada, but what the hell?
Can you assure us, you personally, can assure us that no one is being eavesdropped upon in the United States other than someone who has a communication that is emanating from foreign soil by a suspected terrorist, Al-Qaeda, or otherwise?
Sir, I can't give you absolute assurance.
Who can?
The kind that you've asked for. Certainly General Hayden knows more about the operational details of this program. What I can give the American people assurance is that we have a number of safeguards in place so that we can say with a high degree of confidence, or surely certainty, that that what the president has authorized in connection with this program, that those procedures are being followed.
Crafty language. Very, very tricksy language here, huh? He keeps talking about this program. Did you notice that if you listen to any of it today? He kept using qualifiers. Well, this program, you know, tricksy. Very tricksy language. Very tricksy language. It's truthy. Who talks about truthy? The guy that came off of The Daily Show has his own show now. What's his name?
Oh, well, Colbert, yeah. Truthy statements, tricksy statements. All right, let's move on to Senator Herb Kohl. He comments on Bush's apparent power grab from the other branches of government, so that Bush is essentially operating without any check on his authority. Herb Kohl also wants to know why, if the administration thought they had different options under their interpretation of the law and the Hamdi decision, why not go the easy, less controversial route and go through FISA? Why not just do it? Why choose the difficult path of trying to find some tiny, weak little loophole that would allow them to work around the existing FISA law? Why not just, come on. You guys have testicles, don't you? You Bush crime family, macho men. Oh, that's right, you're all a bunch of penny ante chicken hawks. But let's pretend for a moment that you have gonads. Let's pretend. Why don't you just make a move like a man instead of a little sneak?
If you had the two options that would have given you unquestionable authority to monitor these calls, and one whose legality was at best questionable, then why did you go for the most questionable one? Why not either follow the law or seek new laws?
Well, Senator, I agree with you. We are a nation of laws, and we do believe we are following the law.
Oh, God.
We do believe that the Constitution allows the President of the United States to engage in this counter-surveillance. We also believe the authorization to use military force represents a supplemental grant of authority by the Congress to engage in this counter-surveillance. We are acting in a manner consistent with FISA. That's what FISA contemplates, another statute. The Congress passed and provided additional supplemental statutory grant of authority through the authorization to use military force. And so I totally agree with what you're saying. We should be acting, particularly in a time of war. I think it is good to have the branches of government working together. It's good for the country. I believe that's what happened here.
Do you really? Are you really that insane? Huh, Bertie? Are you really that insane? You really think the branches of government, you think that because there was this cheesy-ass authorization of force resolution, which was based on lies, deceit, and half-truths, do you think that somewhere in there, just like somewhere in a huge room full of horse manure, there's got to be a pony in there somewhere, right? Is that what you believe, Bertie? You really do believe that the authorization of force resolution contained within it the right of this criminal son of a bitch to spy on Americans? Do you really believe that, Bertie, or do you just think that we are stupid enough to believe you believe it? And the way they keep saying, we found justification, we believe that we're not violating the Fourth Amendment, we've had lawyers. Lawyers? I thought you people hated lawyers. The trial lawyers. Ah, those sons of bitches that forced DuPont to pay for all the death and destruction they've caused along the James River in Virginia. Oh, no. General Electric that's sued and forced to clean up the Hudson. No. Those dirty, rotten trial lawyers. But you've had lawyers advise you. Am I hearing you right, Bertie? You all have had trial lawyers advise you that what you are doing, your law-breaking, is not law-breaking. Why, my goodness, this sounds like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, doesn't it? Huh? This sounds like the Red Queen. It's just difficult to listen to this and to have watched it earlier today. The one thing about watching the actual Q&A, as opposed to listening to what we have for you here, is you don't get to see the body language here when we do it on this program. If you watch it on television. And again, let me suggest, for those of you who can afford the $25 a month, you ought to get CNN Pipeline. I've got my issues with CNN, but it's raw feed, man. It's complete raw feed. You see it all. You see them scratching their asses. You hear them pass gas. You see them pick their noses. Not that that's fun, but I mean, it's just all wide open, right? And if you see it, and you see the body language, especially at Bertie, where he just, is it possible to give somebody the finger with your mouth? I think it is, in Bertie's case. Everything you know is wrong. It's wrong. It's all wrong.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard. Now available in three sizes at Brooks Pharmacy, Eckerd Pharmacy, and other fine stores.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Day streaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Scott emailed in, reminded me the children that were butchered the other day were in Pakistan, not Afghanistan. Thanks, Scott. It's hard to keep up with the countries that the Bush crime family feels it has a right to enter and commit murder. Iran apparently is next. We don't know, of course, about Kazakhstan, what we've been doing there, or Kyrgyzstan, what we've been doing there. We don't know about that. And maybe the New York Times or the Washington Post or some newspaper has the information. They're sitting on it at the request of the Bush crime family because, you know, it would compromise national security, yada, yada. Anyway, thanks, Scott. The attack that I was referencing killed 8 women and 6 children under 10. That's according to Al Jazeera's Pakistan bureau chief. And you know, Al Jazeera, oh gosh, we can't trust them, can we? Huh? We got to rely on CBS and Fox. Oh, never mind. All right, Herb Kohl, back to the hearing. Senator Herb Kohl asks if Gonzalez would review the wiretaps that have already taken place to make sure there's no abuse. Since Gonzalez says, well, Senator, I don't know, maybe there is some abuse. Okay, well, how about reviewing them, make sure there's no abuse, perhaps seek a revised legal act of Congress to allow greater wiretapping privileges. Look, these sons of bitches already control. All Bush has to do is to send one of his hitmen. Gonzalez will do, Negroponte will do, any one of these people. Send him over to Congress. Have a closed session and say, okay, bitches, listen up. The president wants a law that allows him to do thus and such. And we got the Supreme Court stacked now, so pass a law, bitches, you hear? Yes, sir! All right, so why not do that? Well, what's wrong with that? Why wouldn't Bush want a law giving him more power to eavesdrop on Americans? I mean, come on, what's the answer? Makes you wonder, right? But I have a feeling Gonzalez fears that any law might have some little tricksy language in it to restrict Bush from doing something. Somewhere down the line, Bush may want to slice the throat of a 46-year-old left-handed, blue-eyed Baptist from Westchester County, New York. And the law might restrict slicing the throat. You see what I'm saying? But the real issue is because Congress has no authority at all.
Mr. Attorney General, if applying to the secret FISA court is too burdensome, then would you agree to after-the-fact review by the FISA court and by Congress of the wiretaps used specifically in this program? At least in this way, we can ensure going forward yeah. that the authority will never be abused by this or any other president.
Sir, obviously, we want to ensure that there are no abuses. The president has said we're happy to listen to your ideas about legislation.
Uh-huh.
There is concern, however, that, of course, the legislative process may result. First of all, of course, we believe the president already has the authority, and legislation is not necessary here. But the legislative process may result in restrictions upon the president's attempted restrictions upon the president's inherent constitutional authority, and he may not be able to protect the country in the way that he believes he has the authority to do under the Constitution.
He may not be able to slice the throat of a blue-eyed 47-year-old Baptist from Westchester County. You see, gosh, Senator, we would have to have a law that described a certain physical or characteristics or affiliations of every human being in America in order to satisfy what you, you know, what you vermin over here in the congressional branch are known for doing. You know, insist you pass your stupid-ass of the laws, and then you insist that the law is upheld. And if the law is not upheld, then you come back here and bitch at us. And if the law is upheld, somebody's going to challenge it at the Supreme Court. Well, we've got that locked up now, and we've got you locked up, too. Herb, sit down and shut up. You're a Democrat, right? Sit down. Shut up. My name is Gonzalez. Doesn't that mean Gonzalez? Try this. Torquemada. Ding. Ring a bell. Sit down, Herb. Shut up, Herb. Cole wants to know what happens. He doesn't sit down and shut up. He wants to know what happens to all the data collected on Americans who turn out to be totally innocent, like Quakers, ACL people. Wait a minute. I thought they only listened to calls that had a definite Al-Qaeda connection or foreign. Oh, never mind. What happens to those phone calls or emails like the retired Quakers down in Florida?
If the administration investigates an American for ties to terrorism using this program and finds nothing, and of course news reports have indicated that this happens the vast majority of the time, And what is done with the information collected? Does the administration keep this information on file somewhere, disposed of? What happens with this information?
I can't talk about specifics about it, but information is collected.
Yeah.
Information is retained,
yeah.
And information is disseminated in a way to protect the privacy interests of all Americans.
Oh, good. Okay.
So you're saying the information, even if it turns out to be without any correctness, the information is retained.
Senator, I can't provide any more of an answer than the one I just gave.
Because if I did, Rummy would spank my little bare bottom, and they like doing that. They like to get us younger guys over there, and they tie us to a chair and take our pants down, and they whip us. So, and I don't want to whip them. I just don't want to whip them, and I don't want to play hide the potato. I just, you know.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
With my back pain, it hurt just to think about swinging a golf club.
Back pain can ruin your golf game. That's why you need capsaicin cream, the brand pharmacists recommend most, because its relief starts strong and gets stronger each time you use it. Relief so effective,
it's like the pain was never there. It's unbelievable.
You've got to feel it for yourself. Capsaicin cream. Relief beyond belief.
Now that's a shot.
dictatorship seem orderly? When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
Back to today's hearings, which are doing nothing other than elaborating on that statement. And for those of you who think that Bush was referring to, oh, I don't know who, Saddam? No, he's referring to himself. Anyway, back to the hearings today. Now it's Dianne Feinstein's turn. She wants to know exactly which portion of the FISA law Gonzalez believes allows Bush to work outside that law's check on his power. You know, the FISA law talks about, well, you got to get warrants. Now, this is the part where Gonzalez claims that the statute clause in FISA permits them to wiretap without a warrant. The statute in question being the use of force resolution to go after Osama, which is a total stretch of the law. Do you understand here? FISA was passed in 1978. You know, that's why Bush thinks it's too old to acknowledge. And there's a part of the FISA law that says subsequent statutes, subsequent laws may modify this. Doesn't any law say that? Someplace within that law? This is not writ in stone. If the Congress of the United States decides to make some changes, so be it. But what the Bush crime family, these totalitarian sons of bitches, what they say is no. The fact that you passed a resolution, not a law, not a statute, a resolution, gives them the authority to spy on Americans.
What in FISA specifically, then, allows you to conduct electronic surveillance within America on Americans?
I believe that it's Section 109,
that's right,
which talks about persons not engaged in electronic surveillance under color of law, except as authorized by statute. Now, I may not have it exactly right. We believe that is the provision in the statute which allows us to rely upon the authorization to use military force. Now, you may say, well, that I disagree with that construction. That may be so. There may be other constructions that may be fairly possible. We believe this is a fairly possible reading of FISA.
Well, as long as you believe it, Torquay, it's okay, I guess, huh? And that half-wit that you and Cheney are always whispering into his ears, as long as you all believe it, I guess. All right, so now DiFi asks a series of questions about circumstances under Bush's interpretation of his use of power. And Gonzalez won't answer any of them. She wants to know if Bush used or can use his claimed authority to spy domestically. Can or will Bush extend that assumed authority to include other powers which might violate civil rights, like restricting a right to vote, restricting travel, restricting it, you know, anything? DiFi worries about this slippery slope of unchecked presidential power.
Can the president suspend the application of the Posse Comitatus Act?
Of course, Senator,
really?
That is not what is at issue here. This is not
that.
About law enforcement. It's about foreign intelligence.
Hey. You choose not to answer it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can the president suspend, in secret or otherwise, the application of Section 503 of the National Security Act, which states that no covert action may be conducted which is intended to influence United States political processes, public opinion, policies, or media? In other words, can he engage in otherwise illegal propaganda?
Senator, let me respond to this. Will probably be my response to all of your questions of these kind of hypotheticals.
Go screw yourself.
Those are very, very difficult questions.
Yeah, go screw yourself.
And for me to answer those questions sort of off the cuff,
yeah, go screw yourself,
I think would not be responsible.
So,
I think that
go screw yourself.
Again.
Okay, that's fine. I don't want to argue with you.
No.
All I'm trying to say is this is a slippery slope. Once you do one, there are a whole series of actions that can be taken, and I suspect
Bingo!
The temptations to take them are very great. And we are either a nation that practices our rule of law or we're not.
DiFi, we're not anymore. Hello. Senator Feinstein, I know your husband's making a lot of money on this deal here, okay? But Jesus Christ, lady, aren't you Jewish? Don't you know what they're going to do to you first? Okay, second. Got to get the gays first. We are either a nation that practices our rule of law or we're not. Senator Feinstein, for 5 freaking years, the Bush crime family has violated the law. And like Hitler, they don't make it, they don't try to hide it. They do it right out front. Hi, I'm your president. Today I'm going to urinate on the Constitution. Okay? You ladies might want to turn the other way while I unzip my fly. Psst. After lunch or something, Leahy comes back. And started hammering Gonzalez. Listen to this very entertaining exchange about wiretapping. Does Bush have the power to wiretap Americans inside the United States if he believes they're involved in al-Qaeda activity, not al-Qaeda itself? And is Bush doing this now?
Does he have the power, under your authority, to wiretap Americans within the United States if they're involved in al-Qaeda activity?
Sir, I've been asked this question several times.
I know, and you've had somewhat of a vague answer, so I'm asking again.
And I've said that presents a different legal question, a tough, possibly tough constitutional question, and I am not comfortable just off the cuff talking about whether or not such activity would in fact be constitutional. I will say that is not what we're talking about here. That is
are you
not
doing
what
that?
The president has authorized.
Yeah, are you doing that?
I can't give you assurances. That is not what the president has authorized.
Are you doing that? With this.
Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Senator Leahy, sit down and shut up. You are superfluous. You are a dinosaur. No. You are a fossil. Which is the way I say fossil. Leahy wants to know, next, when Gonzalez informed Congress of this domestic spy program, was it before Congress passed the Patriot Act? Yeah. Leahy's very incredulous that he never came before the Senate Intelligence Committee to brief them on the NSA program. Gonzalez only told a minimum number of congressmen, 8. I think they're all Republicans, right? And Leahy speculates that had the New York Times continued to sit on the story, the full Congress would never have discovered the truth. Screw the Congress, Patrick. You guys can't find your ass with both hands, and when you do, you think it's some place to sit on. The American public needs to know this so that maybe we will find the strength and the courage and the presence of mind, dedication to the Constitution of the United States to take matters into our own hands. Leahy further speculates that the only reason Bush stopped the program briefly during 2004 was so that Gonzalez could go to the Senate confirmation hearings to become Attorney General and be able to lie without technically lying that he wasn't involved in domestic surveillance. Remember that? These sons of bitches are so evil. Truth Seeker, these are evil, demonic Nazis.
Sir, we have advised bipartisan leadership of the Congress and the Intel committees about this program.
Well, did you tell them that before the passage of the USA Patriot Act?
Sir, I don't recall when the first briefing occurred. But it was shortly, my recollection is it was shortly after the program was initiated.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. You said several years after it started, you came up here and talked to some group of members of Congress. The press report said that the president's program of spying on Americans without warrants was shut down for some time in 2004. That sounds like the time you were up here. If the president believed the program was necessary and legally justified, why did he cut it? Why did he shut it down?
Sir, you're asking me about the operations of the program.
Of course. I'm sorry, Mr. Attorney General. I forgot you can't answer any questions that might be relevant to this.
Yeah, that's right. You ought to do the sarcasm a little more often, Senator Leahy. It's very becoming on you. Russ Feingold is next in the barrel. He wants to know if the government has ever wiretapped without going to a judge on purely domestic calls, as they claim they have the right to do. Under the authorization of military force, to be used against Al-Qaeda.
Can the government, without ever going to a judge, wiretap purely domestic phone calls?
Again, Senator, give me an opportunity to think about that. But, of course, that is not what we're talking about. That is not what this program is.
I understand. I'm asking because under the AUMF theory, you were allowed to do it for these wiretaps. I just want to know what's going on now. Let me just, has the government done this? You can get back to me in writing.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay. And one other, same issue, placed a listening device. Has the government, without ever going to a judge, placed a listening device inside an American home to listen to the conversations that go on there? Same answer.
Same answer, Senator.
Okay.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Huh? Unbelievable. Finally, we leave you with a different line of questioning, just a little bit on torture, with a question from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who asked about the McCain torture provisions and Bush's objection to it. You know, it's bad for the neocons when Lindsey Graham is questioning Torquemada's plans and policies.
My question is very simple but very important. Is it the position of the administration that an enactment by Congress prohibiting the cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment of detainee intrudes on the inherent power of the president to conduct a war?
Senator, I think I don't know whether or not we have done that specific analysis.
So there you have it. Do you have any doubts, Truesaker? Huh? You right-wingers? You still support this scummy bastard and his slimy Nazis? Hmm? Of course you do, because you're a right-winger. But for normal Americans, do you understand, don't you? You hear this, these senators who are as useless as tits on a bull, they have absolutely no use whatsoever. Nothing. They are beyond superfluous. They're beyond incidental. They're beyond useless. These are United States senators who have been rendered meaningless. That's the bad part. Meaningless. There is no meaning to the word senator. There is no meaning to the term United States senator. There is no meaning to the phrase from the Constitution, advice and consent. They have been thrown down the memory hole.
For Wall Street Zero, they want you to believe the unbelievable, the same as you accept the unacceptable,
the highest and the hip,
so hypocritical. High crimes and misdemeanors, high crimes and misdemeanors, high crimes and misdemeanors.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, to put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard, now in 3 sizes at CVS and other stores.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
Please apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
Of course, that doesn't include the United States. I mean, you know. So, what does the president, the man who was president when the FISA law was enacted back in 1978, the man who was president back then, what does he have to say about it? I mean, he had a front row seat, didn't he? Huh? This was passed as a result of the Church Committee hearings that unveiled the depth and the breadth and the width of the spying against Americans in this country under America's favorite crossdresser, J. Edgar Hoover, and what the FBI, not just the FBI, but CIA, ABC, DEF, GHI, JKL, all the whatever the agencies were, the attempts to ruin Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the attempts to infiltrate the student movement, the anti-war movement, the feminist movement, the animal rights movement, you know, everything. Get them all. Get those sons of bitches. So the law was passed. What does Jimmy Carter say? Well, Jimmy Carter says he believes Bush has broken the law. Really? Is that impeachable? Carter told reporters, Carter was in Las Vegas at a union hall where his oldest son, Jack Carter, announced his candidacy for the U.S. Senate. He's going to run for the Senate. Jack Carter is from Nevada. President Carter said, quote, under the Bush administration, there's been a disgraceful and illegal decision. Whoops. We're not going to let the judges or the Congress or anyone else know that we're spying on the American people. And no one knows how many innocent Americans have had their privacy violated under the Secret Act. My goodness. The former president, this according to the Associated Press, the former president also rebuked Gonzalez for telling Congress that the spying program is authorized under Article 2 of the Constitution and does not violate the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act passed during Carter's administration. Of course, Gonzalez made both of those assertions during the testimony today, right? Carter said, it's a ridiculous argument, the one Gonzalez made. Not only bad, it's ridiculous. Obviously, the attorney general who said it's all right to torture prisoners and so forth is going to support the person who put him in office, but he's a very partisan attorney general, and there's no doubt that he would say that. And then Carter said, I hope that eventually the case will go to the Supreme Court. I have no doubt that when it's over, the Supreme Court will rule that Bush has violated the law. Really? Really, President Carter, you think that this Supreme Court, that Bush is very carefully, not Bush, but the crime family is very carefully crafting, that they're going to rule against this little toad? You think? Carter said he would be willing to testify before the Judiciary Committee if asked. Can you imagine a former president? I wonder if they would swear him in. Carter said, if my voice is important to point the intent of the law that was passed when I was president, I knew all about that because it was one of the most important decisions I had to make, whether or not to sign it. So do you think Spector will call the former president of the United States, whose administration was in power when the law was passed? Do you think this little piece of human excrement, Jeff Sessions, would question a fellow Southerner, Jimmy Carter? The way he sucked up to Gonzalez today? Did you watch Sessions? Oh, Jesus, what a slimy thug. And as for the overall legality of Bush's wiretapping, think about the legal gymnastics Torquemada is contorting himself around to try to find any justification, a weak justification, a line in FISA about future statutes. A big stretch of the use of force authorization allowed in wartime by the Constitution. Something. Ask yourself, if the framers of the Constitution would have wanted to give the president unlimited spying power, here it comes. You ready? Ready? 3, 2, 1. They wouldn't have ratified the Fourth Amendment! I mean, how hard is that? How difficult is that? This is totalitarianism. The United States of America is becoming a fascist state.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez went before a Senate committee Monday to declare the domestic eavesdropping authorized by President Bush as legal in all aspects. He also said it is necessary to take all possible steps to locate our enemy, and that justifies the president's decision to bypass the warrants required by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Vice President Dick Cheney says the U.S. has been protected by more than luck since the 9/11 attacks. He spoke at a campaign fundraiser for Alabama Congressman Robert Aderholt, stressing that the Bush administration's policies have helped thwart more possible attacks.
4 years ago, Congress gave law enforcement some very important tools by passing the Patriot Act. That good law has helped to keep this country safe. Congress needs to reauthorize the Patriot Act.
Cheney said President Bush takes whatever measures he deems appropriate to protect Americans. Angry Muslims took to the streets across Asia and the Middle East Monday to protest cartoons depicting the Muslim prophet Muhammad. The cartoons first appeared in a Danish newspaper a few months ago. One shows Muhammad with a turban resembling a bomb. In Iran, protests led to a riot at the Danish embassy in Tehran. About 1,000 people rammed the embassy's gate, while several threw gasoline bombs. Police drove the enraged crowd back with tear gas and made some arrests. Iran says it has cut all trade ties with Denmark because of the cartoons. Other Muslim groups in the Middle East have also started Danish boycotts. New York Senator Hillary Clinton is dismissing comments from Republican National Committee Chair Ken Mellman that she is too angry to be president. Clinton says the GOP has more important problems on its hands.
I would suggest that the Washington Republicans worry about these devastating budget cuts, the confusion and bureaucratic nightmare in the prescription drug benefit, that's where they should be spending their time and energy instead of trying to divert attention away from their many failures and shortcomings.
Senator Clinton was responding to comments Mehlman made on ABC's This Week, in which he said Clinton was too angry and he doesn't think that is what the American people would want in the White House. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's about 6 and a half past the hour. During the break, we got an MP3 from Clay Z over at Democratic Underground. Clay Z is the guy who sent me the ocarinas. Remember the ocarinas? I still haven't learned to play them. But we're going to play this thing for you. It's 3 minutes long. I want you to hear this. This is about the importance of the Supreme Court justices who have not been appointed by Bush, that they hold on, and we just want you to hear this. Stevens has got to hang on. Ginsburg has got to hang on. Kennedy has got to hang on. Who else? Breyer's got to hang on. They just have to hang on. So we want to play this for you. So kick back. It's break time in the Molloy program.
But I think he looks spry when he's wearing that robe. Stevens, I don't care if you lose your mind. Just wait until Bush leaves before you resign. And in the same vein, hang on, Ginsburg, Ginsburg, hang on. Hang on, Ginsburg, Ginsburg, hang on. Yeah. Cancer sucks, and I hope it never comes again. Please just stay on the bench. Yeah. Just keep on keeping on, girl. You're doing just fine. Until January 20 of 2009. Everybody, hang on, Stevens. Stevens, hang on. Please. Ginsburg, hang on. Yeah.
Even Kennedy, hang on. Kennedy, even you. Even Kennedy, hang on. Kennedy, even you. Please, live long, Breyer.
Live long, live long.
Oh, live long.
Live long, live long.
Oh, live long, Ginsburg.
Live long, live long.
Oh, live long, Stevens.
Live
yeah.
Long, live long.
Just stay on that court.
Hang on, hang on.
Just please stay on that court.
Hang on, hang on.
Shake it, shake it, shake it, Stevens.
Hang on, hang on.
Shake it, shake it, shake it, Ginsburg.
Hang on, hang on.
Oh, my God. Thanks to Clay Z at Democratic Underground, who sent us a link to the song. I wish we had the I wish we could credit somebody with that. We will probably get some credits to it here momentarily, but wow. Whew. It's amazing the straws that we keep grasping at, right?
Well, in the 2004 elections, we'll throw the bastard out.
Yeah, okay.
The 2002 elections, we were going to...
Yeah, okay.
The 2006 elections.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the Democrats won't allow the Supreme Court to be.
Yeah. Okay. So now, it's very necessary to hope that these Supreme Court justices hang on. Just hang on. Very quickly from Steve, Mike, the hearings are laughable. Our own inspector doesn't even bother to swear the little bastard Alberto in, probably because he's had problems in the past when he's testified and lied under the oath. There's nothing really to debate here. Not only did they break the law, they have consistently lied in claiming they've saved lives because of this illegal activity. It's a circular argument causing everyone to chase our collective tails trying to wrap our minds around this logic. This is all mind-numbing, Steve writes, and the debate is framed in such a way to confuse the average apathetic and ignorant citizen. Yeah, well, me too, you know. I'm very confused. This is from Cap. Mike, my voice is raw from screaming. I've been screaming at my television today. I can't help it. I'm so angry, and it's nearly beyond words to explain. How could they have a hearing with Gonzalez and not swear him in? This is insane. And the Democrats just sit there? I mean, sure, they voted an emphatic no, but so bleeping what? Get up and walk out, people. And then the answer is this evil little troll gives. Asked if the signing statement on laws passed by Congress gives the president the power to ignore the law, Gonzo says, we haven't studied it yet. And on and on. Cat writes, they're stealing my country. They're stealing our children's future. They're stealing my name. They are tainting all of us with the blood they are spilling. I went outside a little while ago, Cat writes. I live in a very quiet part of Connecticut. There are several acres between my house and my neighbors in any direction. I stood outside staring into nothing. I heard a man shouting across my yard to the left. After a moment, I realized he was screaming at his TV as well. Oh, it's awful. It's awful. And Joanne wants to know, one, why wasn't Gonzalez under oath during the hearings today? Has anyone questioned Senator Spector on that? Janet Reno was put under oath every time she testified. Double standard? Afraid he might get caught in an untruth? Two, why did no one ask him about the surveillance done on Greenpeace, PETA, the Quakers, and the ACLU? Three, how long will it be before the media picks up on what Attorney Fitzgerald revealed last Friday in court on the Libby case? That many emails from Cheney's office at the time of the plane leak have been deleted, contrary to White House policy. Remember how Gonzalez delayed notifying them 12 hours to preserve all records, right? These are evil bastards.
One clip that I didn't get that I wish I had, maybe I'll grab it for you tomorrow, was where I think it was with Sessions, and he was saying, you know, well, Roosevelt did this too, and Washington did it, and Lincoln did it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, well, you got Bush saying, you know, the FISA law of 1978 is old. That's really old. But then they're going to stretch back to freaking Washington for justification on wiretapping?
Of course, at the time, there was no Constitution, I don't think.
Well, I think it was intercepting telegraphs or something
no,
on horse.
No, not telegraphs.
Well, something
that
on
was the 19th
horse
century.
That Pony Express.
No,
or
mail.
Something. I mean,
mail.
It was a ridiculous justification. It's like FISA's too old at 27 years, but 225 years ago, they were due. That's okay.
Right. And it, what was interesting to me, that very part you're talking about, Gonzalez went back to Washington, and then he went to Wilson. And then he went to Roosevelt, and I was waiting for him to go to Nixon. But I'm a son of a bitch. He didn't go. Why didn't you go to Nixon, Bertie? Why didn't you? Nixon? Nixon didn't pay any attention. And the reason is very simple. You see, during the first three that they used an example, as far as I know, there was no law breaking regarding statutory law. There were violations of the Constitution, arguably, and in each one of these cases, the Congress asserted itself in all three that were cited and said, no, you can't do this, and so it stopped. But this is the Bush crime family. They don't give a damn about, what, the Constitution?
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
22 past the hour. Don't panic about 1984. We're going to get to it after the next break. Let's do some phone calls now. We've had we just chewed up an awful lot of time tonight with the Gonzalez testimony today. Who can sit there for five? How long did it go on today? 5 hours, Kathy? 5 or 6 hours? I mean, nobody is, unless you work as one of these senators, nobody can do that. I mean, you can't do it. You can't sit there at home for 5 hours and watch this stuff. Although, We did.
And yet somehow we did.
Yeah, I know.
9:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night with breaks for lunch and bathroom.
Well, you did. I took care of the kid. And Kathy, this is her sacrifice, you see. This is what she does for the revolution. Anyway, let's do some phone calls here, starting with Dave in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dave, welcome to the program. Hey,
hello.
Dave.
Hey. I can't say how much your show is appreciated.
Well, thank you.
It is so refreshing to actually hear someone out there that actually has a brain.
Yeah, well,
can see what's going on.
Well, thanks a lot. I don't know what to say.
Well, I'll tell you, every time I hear you on the radio, before, I was like, you know what? I was thinking that way as far as last year or last week or last month. Or it was like,
yeah.
You just, the amazing.
Oh, no. Oh, this is not going to start tonight, is it? Oh, Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for the loss of the phone call. This is probably our system again. Let's try again. Art is calling from Virginia. Art, welcome to the program. Okay. No phone calls for a while until we get this straightened out. I'm terribly sorry, everybody. But this kind of thing happens. All right. I don't know if you're aware of this. Let me just drop some of this in because it is pertinent to our reading 1984, which we're going to do here. And as soon as this next break is over, this is from today. This is from the Associated Press. And the person who sent it to me sent it via the Australian a newspaper in that country, and it says the Pentagon has laid out a new 20-year military strategy for U.S. troops. 20-year war. This is what these bastards have planned for us. Do you understand this? A 20-year military strategy for U.S. troops to be deployed in dozens of countries at once to fight terrorism and other non-traditional threats. Non-traditional threat. Do you understand what we're getting close to? What the fighting is going to be about is renewable energy. Fossil fuel, non-renewable energy. This is what's shaping up. And where are these American soldiers going to be sent? They're going to be sent to those countries that ring China. China and the United States eventually are going to have a conflict that will probably bring these crazy Christian dominionists exactly what they want: nuclear Armageddon. It's insane to make prognostications where it concerns this sort of thing, political stuff and global stuff and the shifting of priorities and agreements, but. Insane it may be, but it's very easy to make the prediction. The Washington Post reported that the initiative from the Pentagon includes a 15% boost in the number of special ops forces. China was singled out as having, quote, the greatest potential to compete militarily, end quote, with the United States. And the strategy calls for a new U.S. Air Force long-range strike force and the building of undersea warfare capabilities. Do you see what they're doing to us? Instead of working to bring about peace and understanding and cooperation on the planet, because we have butchered and bloodied this planet for 10,000 years now, and instead of working to save humanity's collective ass, the people who are planning in our government are planning on endless war, more weaponry, undersea, in the sky, death, destruction. There was a conference of senior security officials in Munich, Germany. Guess who was there? Richard Perl, this little scummy rat bastard who was one of the architects, off government to payroll, one of the architects of the Iraq War. This filthy little miserable man, Richard Perl, he was there. And at the conference in Munich, Rumsfeld suggested a lengthy war lay ahead. And he's pushing our few remaining allies to increase their military spending. Rumsfeld told our allies at this meeting in Munich that, quote, war has been declared on all of our nations and on all of our people, end quote. This is how sick it's gotten. Do you understand what these people are doing? They're destroying the world.
I know the mines behind them are riddled full of holes. Not to be trusted with their hands at the controls. Their eyesight is twisted by the glory in their careers. The heaped parade of flattery has music to their ears. To listen to them talk about.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know, I think GoToMyPC is great. I'm always recommending it for anyone who needs to access their office PC from home or while traveling. Now, I really want you to try it because they've just released GoToMyPC 5.0. GoToMyPC 5.0 is faster and easier than ever before. It's up to twice as fast as the previous version. You can work with all your programs, emails, even transfer files faster than ever. From any computer, simply log on to GoToMyPC.com. And your desktop instantly appears, just as if you were sitting in front of your office PC, even if you're miles away. All you need is an internet connection, plus anyone can get up and running in minutes. Here's a special offer just for my listeners. Try GoToMyPC 5.0 free for 30 full days, but only if you visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio microphone, and type in my name, Al. For this special GoToMyPC 5.0 free trial, be sure to click on the radio microphone and use the promo code AL.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
We'll be right back.
from the book. For those of you who are following along, we're in part one, chapter five. When we left off Friday, Winston Smith and his friend, not his friend, but his co-worker, Sim, were having lunch in the cafeteria at the Ministry of Truth. And through the dialogue, the inner dialogue of Winston Smith, he figured out that Sim eventually was a marked man, eventually would be vaporized, like so many enemies of the state, because Sim was just a little bit too precise in his figuring things out. His interior dialogue was a monologue was just a little bit too precise, and eventually the thought police would catch him on it and vaporize him. So they're sitting there, and Parsons. Now you remember Parsons? He's the guy who lives in the building with Winston Smith, lives in the same building with his wife and two children. It was Parsons' apartment that Winston went over to fix the drain, I believe, in Chapter 1. So let us... Sim looked up. "Here comes Parsons," he said. Something in the tone of his voice seemed to add, "That bloody fool." Parsons, Winston's fellow tenant at Victory Mansions, was in fact threading his way across the room, a tubby, middle-sized man with fair hair and a frog-like face. At 35, he was already putting on rolls of fat at neck and waistline, but his movements were brisk and boyish. His whole appearance was that of a little boy grown large, so much so that, although he was wearing the regulation overalls, it was almost impossible not to think of him as being dressed in the blue shorts, gray shirt, and red neckerchief of the spies. In visualizing him, one saw always a picture of dimpled knees and sleeves rolled back from pudgy forearms. Parsons did indeed invariably revert to shorts when a community hike or any other physical activity gave him an excuse for doing so. He greeted them both with a cheery, "Hello, hello," and sat down at the table, giving off an intense smell of sweat. Beads of moisture stood out all over his pink face. His powers of sweating were extraordinary. At the community center, you could always tell when he had been playing table tennis by the dampness of the bat handle. Sim had produced a strip of paper on which there was a long column of words and was studying it with an ink pencil between his fingers. "Look at him working away in the lunch hour," said Parsons, nudging Winston. "Keenness, eh? What's that you've got there, old boy? Something a bit too brainy for me, I expect. Smith, old boy, I'll tell you why I'm chasing you. It's that sub you forgot to give me." "Which sub is that?" said Winston, automatically feeling for money. About a quarter of one's salary had to be earmarked for voluntary subscriptions, which were so numerous that it was difficult to keep track of them. "For Hate Week, you know, the house-by-house fund. I'm treasurer for our block. We're making an all-out effort, going to put on a tremendous show. I tell you, it won't be my fault if old Victory Mansions doesn't have the biggest outfit of flags in the whole street. $2, you promised me." Winston found and handed over two creased and filthy notes, which Parsons entered in a small notebook in the neat handwriting of the illiterate. "By the way, old boy," he said, "I hear that little beggar of mine let fly at you with his catapult yesterday. I gave him a good dressing down for it. In fact, I told him I'd take the catapult away if he does it again." "I think he was a little upset at not going to the execution," said Winston. "Ah, well, what I mean to say shows the right spirit, doesn't it? Mischievous little beggars they are, both of them. But talk about keenness. All they think about is the spies and the war, of course. Do you know what that little girl of mine did last Saturday when her troop was on a hike out Berkhamsted way? She got two other girls to go with her, slipped off from the hike, and spent the whole afternoon following a strange man. They kept on his tail for 2 hours, right through the woods, and then, when they got into Abersham, handed him over to the patrols." "What did they do that for?" said Winston, somewhat taken aback. Parsons went on triumphantly. "My kid made sure he was some kind of an enemy agent. Might have been dropped by parachute, for instance. But here's the point, old boy. What do you think put her on to him in the first place? She spotted he was wearing a funny kind of shoes. Said she'd never seen anyone wearing shoes like that before. So the chances were he was a foreigner. Pretty smart for a nipper of seven, eh?" "What happened to the man?" said Winston. "That I couldn't say, of course, but... what happened to him?" "Well, I wouldn't be altogether surprised if..." Parsons made the motion of aiming a rifle and clicked his tongue for the explosion. "Good," said Sim, abstractedly without looking up from a strip of paper. Of course, we can't afford to take chances, agreed Winston dutifully. What I mean to say, there is a war on, said Parsons. As though in confirmation of this, a trumpet call floated from the telescreen just above their heads. However, it was not the proclamation of a military victory this time, but merely an announcement from the Ministry of Plenty. Comrades! Cried an eager, youthful voice. Attention, comrades! We have glorious news for you. We have won the battle for production. Returns now completed of the output of all classes of consumption goods show that the standard of living has risen by no less than 20% over the last year. All over Oceania this morning, there were irrepressible, spontaneous demonstrations when workers marched out of factories and offices and paraded through the streets with banners voicing their gratitude to Big Brother for the new happy life, which his wise leadership has bestowed upon us. Here are some of the completed figures. Foodstuffs. The phrase, our new happy life, recurred several times. It had been a favorite of late with the Ministry of Plenty. Parsons, his attention caught by the trumpet call, sat listening with a sort of gaping solemnity, a sort of edified boredom. He could not follow the figures, but he was aware that they were in some way a cause for satisfaction. He had lugged out a huge and filthy pipe, which was already half full of charred tobacco. With the tobacco ration at 100 grams a week, it was seldom possible to fill a pipe to the top. Winston was smoking a victory cigarette, which he held carefully horizontal. The new ration did not start till tomorrow, and he had only 4 cigarettes left. For the moment, he had shut his ears to the remoter noises and was listening to the stuff that streamed out of the telescreen. It appeared that there had been demonstrations to thank Big Brother for raising the chocolate ration to 20 grams a week. And only yesterday, he reflected, it had been announced that the ration was to be reduced to 20 grams a week. Was it possible that they could swallow that after only 24 hours? Yes, they swallowed it. Parsons swallowed it easily, with the stupidity of an animal. The eyeless creature at the other table swallowed it fanatically, passionately, with a furious desire to track down, denounce, and vaporize anyone who should suggest that last week the ration had been 30 grams. Sim, too, in some more complex way, involving doublethink, Sim swallowed it. Was he then alone in the possession of a memory? He, Winston Smith? The fabulous statistics continued to pour out of the telescreen. As compared with last year, there was more food, more clothes, more houses, more furniture, more cooking pots, more fuel, more ships, more helicopters, more books, more babies, more of everything except disease, crime, and insanity. Year by year and minute by minute, everybody had everything. As Sim had done earlier, Winston had taken up his spoon and was dabbling in the pale-colored gravy that dribbled across the table, drawing a long streak of it out into a pattern. He meditated resentfully on the physical texture of life. Had it always been like this? Had food always tasted like this? He looked around the cafeteria, a low-ceilinged, crowded room, its walls grimy from the contact of innumerable bodies, battered metal tables and chairs placed so close together that you sat with elbows touching, bent spoons, dented trays, coarse white mugs, all surfaces greasy, grime in every crack, and a sourish composite smell of bad gin and bad coffee and metallic stew and dirty clothes. Always in your stomach and in your skin, there was a sort of protest, a feeling that you had been cheated of something, that you had a right to. It was true that he had no memories of anything greatly different. In any time that he could accurately remember, there had never been quite enough to eat. One had never had socks or underclothes that were not full of holes. Furniture had always been battered and rickety, rooms underheated, tube trains crowded, houses falling to pieces, bread dark-colored, tea a rarity, coffee filthy-tasting, cigarettes insufficient, nothing cheap and plentiful except synthetic gin. And though, of course, it grew worse as one's body aged, was it not a sign that this was not the natural order of things? If one's heart sickened at the discomfort and dirt and scarcity, the interminable winters, the stickiness of one's socks, the lifts that never worked, the cold water, the gritty soap, the cigarettes that came to pieces, the food with its strange, evil tastes, why should one feel it to be intolerable unless one had some sort of ancestral memory that things had once been different? He looked round the canteen again. Nearly everyone was ugly, and would still have been ugly, even if dressed otherwise than in the uniform blue overalls. On the far side of the room, sitting at a table alone, a small curiously beetle-like man was drinking a cup of coffee, his little eyes darting suspicious glances from side to side. How easy it was, thought Winston, if you did not look about you, to believe that the physical type set up by the party as an ideal, tall, muscular youths and deep-bosomed maidens, blonde-haired, vital, sunburnt, carefree, existed and even predominated. Actually, so far as he could judge, the majority of people in Airstrip 1 were small, dark, and ill-favored. It was curious how that beetle-like type proliferated in the ministries. Little dumpy men growing stout very early in life with short legs, swift, scuttling movements, and fat, inscrutable faces with very small eyes. It was the type that seemed to flourish best under the dominion of the party.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
With my back pain, it hurt just to think about swinging a golf club.
Back pain can ruin your golf game. That's why you need Capsaicin Cream, the brand pharmacists recommend most, because its relief starts strong and gets stronger each time you use it. Relief so effective.
It's like the pain was never there. It's unbelievable.
You've got to feel it for yourself. Capsaicin Cream. Relief beyond belief.
Now that's a shot.
country is a country that where the Saddamists and the terrorists can't unwind the democracy.
What? It's about 10 before the hour. Both Dorothy and Suzanne emailed me about that the Hang on Stevens song. Al Franken played it today. And apparently gave the band that to put it together the idea for the song. Is that what happened? Anyway, it's called Hang on Stevens. It's performed by Mike Rookberg and Two Tickets to Paradise. The lyrics are by Ben Wickler. The band consists of Jerry Anderson on drums, Steve Price on bass, and Mike Rookberg on guitar, organ, and vocals. So thanks, Dorothy. Thanks, Suzanne, for information. Can we... Do we have time tonight to take a phone call? Is the phone's working? All right, let's give it a shot here. Let's start with Robert in Miami. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hello. Relating to what you said earlier about at the very beginning of the show about 9/11, I want to give you a little treatise here on the last few days before 9/11, stuff that you probably didn't hear in the media, I'm guessing. After a whole summer of all these warnings from different countries that we were going to have a large terrorist attack, and the Bush people later claimed that they didn't think it was going to be in the United States. Well, it was very interesting that there were, most of the 9/11 hijackers lived in Florida at different times, including mostly in Fort Lauderdale. Some of them lived right down the beach 15 miles from where Bush was on 9/11. More on this in a moment. On September 6th, George Tenet got a fat file from French intelligence on Zacharias Moussaoui, the 20th hijacker caught in Minnesota by the FBI there.
Mm-hmm.
It said that he was connected, Zacharias Moussaoui was connected to a group that hijacked a plane in 1994 in France and tried to crash into the Eiffel Tower. French commandos thwarted that, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, Bush, on September 7th, he announces he's going to visit this school in Sarasota where he ends up on 9/11. He announces this September 7th, the day after George Tenet got this file. The same day, September 7th, Jeb Bush, governor of Florida, announces an executive order authorizing the National Guard to help out in port security and inspections against a possible terrorist attack at some point in the future.
Yeah, he declared
4 days before 9/11.
Yeah, he declared a state of emergency in Florida.
Okay. Well, it didn't. If you actually read it, you can easily punch it in on Yahoo, and you can get it in about 5 seconds. He didn't really declare emergency, but he, in case something happened. So Jeb Bush thought some interesting Florida ports. These hijackers in Fort Lauderdale live within 10 miles of Port Everglades, largest cruise ship port on Earth. I want to point that out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 10th of September, Bush goes to Sarasota area. So does Jeb Bush. They meet on this island, Longboat Key, the same island where Catherine Harris, by the way, who made Bush president as Secretary of State of Florida in the 2000 election, the same island where she lives. That's another little thing the media never points out. So that was also the same day, those few days, September 7th and 8th, when George Bush signed his executive order. Those were when the remaining hijackers were leaving Florida for their different areas in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time he signed that order, he could well have thought there was an imminent terrorist attack in Florida, because apparently the implication is that somebody was tracking these terrorists in Fort Lauderdale, knew they were roaming around Florida, roaming around different places, planning things, and there's a lot of information that Israeli intelligence, by the way, was tracking them. But I know this is kind of complicated, but I think it's very interesting that of all the 50 governors, as far as I've been able to tell, the only one who issued any kind of executive order relating to this kind of a warning for the National Guard to be prepared was Jeb Bush. In other words, he was in the loop with Bush. So if they thought that there was going to be no imminent terrorist attack in the United States, they always claim now, him and Condoleezza say it was going to be overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they thought that, then why would they tell Jeb Bush, hey, have an executive order so if this happens?
Because they're evil sons of bitches?
You see what I'm saying?
Well, sure I do. Of course.
And it's all tied together, and we don't know what they knew, but they certainly knew a lot more than they're telling us, and certainly perhaps Jeb Bush was an honest person, and he was trying to do his job, and he was thinking, well, these guys are roaming around Fort Lauderdale. We're not arresting them. And they live, you know, Port Everglades. If you ever flown into Fort Lauderdale Airport, you see it. It's right next to the Fort Lauderdale Airport.
Yeah, I can remember when shortly after the attack of September 11, 2001, and we were working for Air America, IE America Radio Network, and it was a couple of days after that attack, and somebody sent me the information about Jeb Bush doing exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on the air. It was October, November of 2001. This is the same time that the book by the French journalist and the French intel guy came out. And the title of that book was Bin Laden, The Forbidden Truth.
Yeah.
So there was reason for us to talk about it. I just say this as a historical fact. I had doubts about the way this 9/11 thing played out, the official story, from the very beginning.
Can I finish up with one fact that may blow your mind? It may blow your mind, may not.
Well, if you can do it in 30 seconds.
Okay, George Tenet, despite the fact he got this file on the salary from the French, who were always blaming, they gave us a file connected, that was connected. Okay, George Tenet hid that fact until 2004, and the 9/11 Commission caught him on it, and our newspapers never reported this, that he had kept that secret until 2004, that he got that file about Massawi days before 9/11.
Yeah, well, what can I say? Hello? Now that was kind of weird, wasn't it? What the hell was that? Quick, disconnect that phone call! What was that?
That was Gonzalez.
That was Gonzalez? All right, listen, enough craziness for tonight, really. I want to go home and destroy the remaining bottle of wine that we have at home. Thanks to Justin Yuen and our resident rock star, Jason Isaac, for engineering the program tonight. D. Neal, our associate producer. Chris, Mark, Ben, and Jim. Thanks to everybody. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. We'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.